everyone. Welcome to Solid Foundations number 8. We're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus and what it means to us. And I want you to know that when on the morning of Resurrection Day, when the ladies came to the tomb, there were angels there, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, all comment on risen Savior. And it says very clearly, the angel said, "He is risen, he is not here." That's in Matthew 28, 6. He is not here, he has risen. And when I came to know Jesus 42 years ago, I came to find a risen Savior. I didn't find a religion. I didn't just become a Christian. No, I found Jesus, a risen Savior. And I love this scripture. I just want to read it to you. It's from Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. As a believer, come on, believers. It says, "I want to know Christ." Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. To know the power of his resurrection. We serve a God of love and a God of power. That means he can heal, he can free, he can change, he can do miracles. My whole life, 42 years, being alone and then marrying Viv and having children, has been 42 years of miracles, of walking with a resurrected Jesus. He is alive, folks. He is alive. He is alive. And even in his ministry years, he rose some people from the dead. He went to a young girl, Jairus' daughter, and he said, little girl or little dear, get up, stand up. And she came back to life. Jesus went to Lazarus' house, and his sister said, "Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "No, I am the resurrection and the life." And he went to the tomb and he said, "Lazarus, come forward." And Lazarus comes out. There was another time where Jesus was in a town called Nain, and there was a funeral procession, and he saw a widow so sad, and her only son had died. And he walks up and he grabs the casket. He says, "Get up." And the young man gets up and he returns the young man to his mother. There's all these stories that point to a resurrection. And I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again, Philippians 3:10. I want to know Jesus Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. And I pray that today's study, as we look at the many resurrection appearances of Jesus, you're going to be inspired. You're going to be lifted up. You're going to want to know the power of his resurrection and know one day when you die, or I guess when we go to heaven, if Jesus comes back, there's going to be a resurrection body, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. In the resurrection body, I'm going to do a lot of great things. I'm going to eat the best sushi and the best Aussie beef, and I'm believing I'm going to go surfing one day again, and I'm going to be there with my lovely wife and children, and we're going to have a great praise of Jesus in heaven with our resurrection bodies. We won't be ghosts. We'll be like Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready to study the resurrection? Now, our study comes from Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ. Christ is our foundation. He is the cornerstone. He is the one on whom we build our lives. And all of a sudden, we start building on Jesus Christ in our life. And we've been talking about resurrection. We've been talking about changing the mind, repentance. We've been talking about faith, firm foundations, and then water baptism and baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about laying on of hands. Well, we can't really do that now, but the whole concept of God's Wi-Fi power, the laying on of hands can happen at a distance, healing, freedom, deliverance, power of God, and there can be leadership rise and leadership growth, and I'm believing for that all the time. And then we get to resurrection. And we've got to know about this. We've got to know, because we've got to know about end times. What happens when we die? What happened to Jesus? I want to know Jesus, the power of his resurrection. When I came to Jesus, just by the way, with my illustration, I keep building it and build a big building. And this is my kids and ministry and church and friends and whatever. And even though there's a shaking happening with pandemic or actual earthquakes or financial shocks, my foundations are firm, and I build my life in Jesus Christ. When I was 19, I went to a church. I was searching for God. I was searching for a powerful Jesus. I had been involved in other occult things, And I realized that there was power there, but there was evil there. There was no friendship there. It was not nice. And I was depressed. I was actually suicidal. I don't think I would ever have committed suicide, but I thought about it most days. Just the thought, gee, that'd be easy. But it's not easy. It's a terrible thing. And I want to encourage you, if you're feeling those thoughts, get resurrection power. Ask Jesus to free you. And when I received Jesus, two things happened instantly. That darkness left me. The depression left me, never to come back. And the power and grace of Jesus came on me. I knew the power of a risen Jesus. So how do we know Jesus rose? Well, two things: the Bible record that we're going to read, and two, our testimony and the testimony of so many people of healings and people getting free of their past. And come on, we're going to do a study right now on the resurrection. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:40. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So resurrection is truly one of the foundation stones of our faith. Jesus Christ crucified and 3 days later resurrected. Let's have a look. First of all, I want to tell you that Jesus did really die. Now, this is important because there is a major world faith that says that he was crucified but did not die on the cross. But the Bible is clear that from the Roman record and the Greek Bible, that Jesus Christ, when I say the Roman record, I mean the Romans in the Bible, the Pontius Pilate and the centurion, that Jesus really did die. It sounds a strange way to talk about resurrection, but there's only a resurrection when there's death. And so we're going to read together from Luke chapter 19, the afternoon of Jesus' death. Jesus died on the Friday and then Saturday and Sunday, 3 days. Jesus set out 3 days. This body will rise. So Friday afternoon at 3 p.m., Jesus died. And we know this. The Bible does say the time. It says it was 3 in the afternoon. And we're going to read what happens after that. This is in John 19. Now, it was the day of preparation, and the next day was going to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate, that's the Roman governor, to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. Now, with crucifixion, people can live for days. They don't bleed out. It's a terrible death of not being able to breathe and then getting breath for days. But when they break their legs, they can't get breath and they will die very soon, within minutes. So Friday afternoon, the Sabbath is coming. They've got to get these three people on the cross, Jesus and the two thieves. They've got to get them off the cross. And so they ask for the legs to be broken and the bodies taken down. Verse 32, this is John 19. The soldiers therefore came, which soldiers? Roman soldiers, tough guys, thugs. These are executioners of the Roman Empire. They came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, then those of the other. The two thieves broke their legs. They died. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, put it into his side, into his heart area, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I read about a doctor who studied this and said, this is a sign that death has already taken place. It's already over. The man, Jesus Christ, is dead here. He's dead. He is. His heart's not beating. His body's dead. All right. I'm just making a big deal of this because he died on the cross. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. Basically, John was there. Now, John was there right at the end of the crucifixion with Mary, and Jesus on the cross looks down and says, John, this is now your mother, and Mother Mary, this is now your son, John. And it says from that time on, John took Mother Mary into his home as his mother, a caring last desire by Jesus on the cross. And so John here is testifying, I saw this. I saw this. I saw what happened. It says, these things happened that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones would be broken. That's from Psalm 34:20. And another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. That's Zechariah 12:10. So in his death, Jesus is still fulfilling so many Bible prophecies. It's pretty amazing. And so this is the death of Jesus. Immediately afterwards, there's a man called Joseph of Arimathea. He appears in all four, I think he appears in all four, yes, all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus dies. Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, a man full in the council, in the Jewish high council, he comes and he says, can I take the body? Can I put him in my tomb? Now, this is also going to fulfill scripture. But Joseph of Arimathea, it says in Luke chapter 23, verse 50, there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action to kill Jesus. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Now, this is where they checked that Jesus was dead. Pilate is not going to bring someone down that's not dead. He's a Roman lord, a Roman dictator in that area, and his centurion is a tough guy, and his soldiers are thugs, and Jesus is dead. And so they say, yes, you can have the body. And so what happens? We're going to read in John chapter 19. Also, there was another man with Joseph Arimathea called, well, let's read it, John 19, 39. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night in John chapter 3. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. This is like thousands of dollars. They're, Joseph and Nicodemus are members of the high court. They're Jewish believers in Jesus. They're disciples, and they're pouring money into embalming Jesus with special perfumes, like in the old days they embalmed them. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. So strips of linen all over, as they did in accordance with the Jewish burial custom. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And the garden, there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Now, Viv and I have been to this garden. And there's a mound that it sort of devolved a bit. It sort of degraded a bit, the soil. But the photos from 150 years ago show that it's like a skull, a human skull, this little mound. It's not big. It's only about 10 feet high, a couple of meters high, a few meters high. But you can see that's where Jesus, that was the cross. And just 50 meters away, just across the garden, there is the tomb. You can go and see it today. Now, it's not a big entrance. The tomb inside is quite, has some space, but the entrance is, you've got to bend. And that's the tomb that Joseph and Nicodemus take Jesus' body down, wrap him in linen, and put him straight into the tomb with great love and great care. And it says that they laid him in a tomb where no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, there it is, they laid Jesus there. Let's read on in the book of Luke, Luke 23, 55. And the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. And they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Saturday, the Sabbath. They rested in obedience to the commandment. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day." Because Jesus said, third day, that's when I'm going to rise. "Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. The last deception will be worse than the first." And Pilate, hearing this, because I don't want any more trouble. This Jesus has been such a traumatic event. I don't want any more trouble. Go and set a guard. So it says in Luke 23, 65, take a guard. What is a guard? It's 16 big, strong, top-level soldiers, Roman soldiers, Roman thugs, Roman killers, basically. These are tough guys. Take 16 of them. It's called a guard. "Go and make the tomb secure as you know how." And they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. So the stone is rolled down into place. It's like it's a down, little downhill, the big stone to cover the entrance. The entrance is not like huge, but it is big enough. That stone's going to have to be so heavy to roll. Boom. And then 16 guards just to guard that stone entrance to the tomb. And they put a seal on, probably a rope around it, probably some sort of rope and some sort of a signet ring seal of Pontius Pilate. And the Roman law said, whoever breaks this seal must die. Whoever breaks the seal must die. So those 16 guards, if anyone breaks in, they will be killed. They will be executed. So they're really guarding. They're guarding this little space. No one is going to steal the body. So Friday night, Saturday night, they're guarding. They're guarding the tomb. 16 tough guys are guarding the tomb. All right, you got it? And so when we come to Sunday morning, it all changes. See, Jesus said, I'll rise on the third day. That means he could rise anytime after 6 p.m. Saturday night. That would have already fulfilled that word. The Jewish day is 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. So Friday up to the time of his death, crucifixion, that is one day. Friday night to Saturday night, that is day two. After Saturday night, that is day three. So Jesus could have risen anytime after 6 p.m. on the Saturday to fulfill 3 days. And so the guards are there. We don't know what happens there through the night, but Sunday morning is coming and it's going to be amazing. Are you ready to read of what happens on Resurrection Day? What you're going to find is there's going to be some discovery of the empty tomb, and then Jesus is actually going to appear 4 different times on the Sunday. Did you know that? 4 different appearances. It's like Jesus is having a party with people. He just keeps appearing and disappearing. He's amazing. He's got his resurrection body. He's alive. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. We've got to read this story. Here we go. This is in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. These are the resurrection stories. Matthew 28, 1, after the Sabbath, that's 6 p.m. Saturday night, at dawn on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And Mark also says there were other ladies there. There was Salome. And this is Matthew 28, 2. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards, here we are, the 16 guards, were so afraid. These tough guys were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. They couldn't move. So here comes sometime after 6 p.m. through the night. The guards are there watching. Angel, flame on. Probably it was in the darkness of the probably early morning. Flame on. And just simply rips off the seal of Rome, pulls the stone away from the entrance. So easy for an angel of God. They're so powerful. You know, Jesus said to Peter, don't you think I could call my Father and he would send 12 legions of angels? Jesus said that in the Garden of Gethsemane to Peter. That a legion is 6,000. Don't you think I could call 72,000 angels? And here one single angel, one, comes in, rips up the stone like it's paper, and these 16 tough guys are so afraid of this supernatural angel, this supernatural event that says they can't even move. And they probably know that they're probably going to die because that stone has been removed. Now, they don't die, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this is Sunday morning before light, okay? That all happens. So now you've got the stone up. Jesus resurrects sometime and is out of the tomb. He's gone. When they come, the ladies are coming back to bring spices. Let's have a look here. It says Mark 16, 2. Very early on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, just after sunrise, they started from the house in darkness and got there after sunrise. And they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance? Like, they're not even planning. They just got their spices to embalm Jesus further. They wanted to just love the body of Jesus. And it says that they start thinking, who's going to move the stone away? They don't even know that those Roman soldiers were there. That would have been another problem before, not now. Those guards, when they get, are gone. They've run for their life. 16 big soldiers, we saw this angel, and they ran for their lives. And so there's women here. It says that there was Mary Magdalene, and there was others there as well. We're going to read here in Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 4. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning, now there's two angels, stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down to the ground, faces to the ground, and the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Come on. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. And so the women are there. They meet an empty tomb and angels. This is Sunday morning. The first thing that the women do not meet Jesus here, they meet the empty tomb. So we're going to read here in John 20, verse 2. So she came running, who? Mary Magdalene, came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved. That's the apostle John, who wrote John, right? He always calls himself about five times the apostle that Jesus loved. He never names himself, but he says, "Jesus loved me." In fact, he's got some rivalry with Simon Peter. So Mary Magdalene comes back, finds Peter and John, these two guys, the two leaders of the group. And this is what she says. It says, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him." So Mary thinks the body has been taken. Mary has not yet met Jesus and she thinks someone's done this. And so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. So Peter and John, this rivalry, and John here says the one that Jesus loved got there first. He was the fastest guy. That's John. But he didn't go in the tomb. He looks in there. And he sees the strips of linen in there. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went straight into the tomb. That's Peter. He's no fear, Peter. Boom, straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. So it was two things, strips of linen and this one, this is too small, but some sort of face cloth on the dead. And they found those two things. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. The face cloth they found folded, and again, this is too small, but get the idea. It was perfectly folded and put there for them to find it. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. It's really significant. It's really significant. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, John, went inside. He saw the linen, no Jesus, no body. He saw the strips of linen and the face cloth folded, and he believed. He was the first one to believe in the resurrected Jesus, even before he saw him. John, the Apostle John, the writer of John 1, 2, 3 John and Revelation. That man was the first one. He saw the empty tomb. He saw the strips of linen and he saw the folded face cloth, and it says he believed. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead, and the disciples went back to their homes. Why was this so significant? Well, there's a story from history of the tradesmen of Jesus' day that at the end of the day, they would take a face cloth and they would wash and they would wipe their face, wipe their hand, the last thing of the day before they finished for the day, and they would wipe there and they'd wash it and they would fold it and it was a sign to everyone in the wherever they were working, in a house or a stadium, wherever they were working, and they folded it neatly and they put it down to represent, I have finished for the day. I finished my job. And I think John knew that story. So when he saw that, he'd probably seen Jesus every day do something similar, because Jesus was a carpenter. Probably at the end of every day, Jesus folded in a certain way. And John knew it was only Jesus that did it that way. And I think when John saw the linen, but he saw the cloth, he knew that Jesus had folded it. He knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. And just a little like a John, I'll be seeing you very soon because it's finished. I'm alive. I finished my work. I'll be seeing you very soon. What a touching story, right? And it says, when John saw, he believed that Jesus was resurrected. Now, we're going to come to the resurrection appearances on the Sunday. There are four. All right. The first one is Mary Magdalene. The first appearance of Jesus after this is in Mark chapter 16, verse 9. It says, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. And I think it's really significant that this woman who followed Jesus and really served him and loved him was the one that Jesus first appeared to. Now let's read it in John 20. It's a great story. It says, but Mary, so the disciples went back home. Peter and John left the tomb area, but Mary, John 20, verse 11, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Who was the first one Jesus appears to? Mary Magdalene. This is it. This is the story. Are you ready? As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the feet. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? And they have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. The others are gone. She's still there. The angels are there. And she turns around and she sees Jesus. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener. A bit of humor here. Right at the resurrection, a bit of fun, a bit of amazement right here that the resurrected body of Jesus looks a little bit different, or can look a little bit different. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. And Jesus says one's words to her, and he just looks at her and he says, Mary. And that one word, the tone, the heart, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And it says, she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic. That's her heart language, Rabboni, which means teacher. Sensei in Japanese. Sensei, teacher. Jesus said, don't take hold of me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. She told them these things. Whew. In Mark chapter 16, verse 10, it says, she went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. So Mary comes running back. I've seen him. The first one. I've seen him. Appearance number two. Here we go. Matthew 28, 9. Suddenly Jesus met them. Who's them? The other women, not Mary Magdalene, the other women. So Salome, Mary, the mother of Joseph and James, the other Mary. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. So all of a sudden, Mary Magdalene, Jesus appears to her. Then Jesus appears to these other women. I think it's very fast. And it shows that Jesus can teleport, can disappear, appear. And we start to see this power of the resurrection body, that although Jesus is still Jesus, Jesus has new powers. It's called the resurrection body. And you and I will get this too, but that's for later on. But just get excited here. Now, while this is happening, the guards who had run away, something's got to happen with that story. It's not finished yet. Are you ready? We're going to read here in Matthew 28, 11. It says, while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, Pilate, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story was being widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. So the soldiers, these 16 guard who saw the angels, did not die. They went and got money to lie. And also the chief priests of the Jews said, we will keep you safe. We will tell Pilate that it was stolen by thieves while you were asleep. Well, that story has just got holes all over it. Like, if they were asleep, how do they know it was thieves? Or how do they know it was his disciples? His disciples came during the night and stole him. How would they know that? How would they know if the guards were asleep? This story is stupid. And I think out of the 16 guards, over time, at least one or two must have told others the real story. Do you know that night? They would have said, do you know that night when we were guarding? This whopping supernatural angel came down, and that's what happened. And that Jesus, he wasn't there. We were there. We saw it. And so out of the 16 guards, you would think at least one, two, or maybe all 16 at some time would tell the true story. This is an amazing part that really the whole thing that Jesus was stolen by his disciples never gained traction. People tried to tell that story, and everyone knew that was crazy. And then later, Jesus is going to appear to so many people. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that in one time he appeared to 500 people. At one time, at one event, he appears to 500 people. So the stories of Jesus' resurrection just keeps growing and growing. So this story is just more and more ridiculous and was never really a major problem for the early Christians. Everyone knew that this story was not true. Okay, so we've had two appearances of Jesus. Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other girls, the other women. Now we're coming to number three, appearance three on the first day, on the Sunday. Are you ready? Luke 24:13. Now the same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 12, 15 kilometers from Jerusalem, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were walking, they were talking with each other about everything that happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Remember, Mary didn't recognize him at first, and then Jesus. These two guys, one of them's name's Cleopas, we don't know the other name. They didn't know it was Jesus. This is sort of, I think Jesus is having some amazing resurrection day fun. He's not making fun of them, but I just think he's playing with them in this incredible moment of history that Jesus is. What do you think of Jesus? Do you think he's this serious guy? I think he's rejoicing in this resurrection day. I really do. And Jesus asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. They were sad. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who do not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? Jesus asked. he's being cheeky, right? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and their rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem in Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen visions of angels and who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory. And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained them what it was said in the scriptures concerning him. What a Bible study. The whole Old Testament, Jesus says, this was the Messiah, this is the Messiah, this is the Messiah. Do you get it? The whole Old Testament became a witness. It was true that the Messiah had to die and rose again. I'm getting pretty exciting, pretty amazing. Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. Jesus is having some fun. He says, I'm just going further. They urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. They persuaded Jesus. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, having communion with them. Wow. And then their eyes were open. I'll take my glasses off for that one. Then their eyes were opened. Whoa. And they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. Whoa, Jesus is having some fun with these two guys. It's his resurrection day. It's his party day. It's his rest of history day. Wow. And it says they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked to us on the road and opened the scripture to us? Now, this resurrection body of Jesus keeps getting more and more amazing. But here we read that he can change some sort of form. He can appear, disappear. He can, it's just amazing. He can take communion. He can take drink and food. He's physical. He's not a ghost. He really rose physically. And so we're going to look at number 4 and 5. Number 4 is then Jesus on the same day appeared to Peter. Now, this is a difficult one, but we've got to see it in 1 Corinthians 15. 5a, and says, and then he appeared to Peter. So sometime here in Emmaus, Jesus appears to them. Some, and then they're going to run. Let's have a look. Let's have a look. This is number 5, John 20. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and said, peace be with you. We're going to read Luke 24, 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they were still did not believe because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. So I said before that there was 4 appearances on the day. Well, the 5th one's with Peter is a little bit unknown, but I believe it did happen. I believe Jesus actually did meet with Peter, specially, personally. You see, when Jesus arose and said to the women, we're going to go back to when the women first are at the temple. The angel said, go and tell the disciples, he is not here, he's risen. I'm going to read this scripture again. It's in Mark chapter 16, verse 6. Don't be alarmed, he said, the angel said. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen, he is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. You see, Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. Peter is feeling the worst of everybody. And the special message here is to the women is go and tell everyone, and tell Peter. And so when it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to Peter, even though it's just one little reference, I think Jesus did actually have that 5th meeting on that day alone with Peter. What a resurrection day. Mary, the other women, the 2 guys on the road to Emmaus, the disciples, and Peter. Jesus had a big first day. We're going to finish here, but let me start to say to you that the resurrection body that Jesus had is supernatural but real. It's flesh and blood. The resurrection body of Jesus is able to we're able to talk and recognize and remember. It's going to be great for people who have lost their memory. They're going to get their memory back. People who are a little bit older are going to get their youth back, going to get their vitality back. People who have been injured, wounded, killed, mutilated are going to get their bodies back. The resurrection is a real event that the Bible talks about. It's our great hope, our great hope. And that's why in Philippians, where it says 3:10, I want to know the power of his resurrection. It's living in such a way that I will be resurrected like Jesus if I have faith in Jesus Christ. The resurrection body, we can eat, we can drink. Jesus said, I won't drink wine till I go to the kingdom. There's going to be wine. There's going to be great food. There's going to be Middle Eastern food. There's going to be hummus and tabbouleh and flatbread. There's going to be Aussie beef. There's going to be Japanese sushi. There's going to be Korean barbecue. There's going to be hot Sichuan chicken from China. There's going to be green curry from Thailand. You get the picture. There's going to be food. There's going to be drink. There's going to be joy. There's going to be fun. There's going to be fun and enjoyment and celebration and remembering and worship of Jesus. I want you to know that we believe in a resurrected Jesus Christ. We believe in a resurrected Jesus Christ. I want to finish today by telling you a story. When I first got saved, I came to Jesus of power, and I've always believed in healing. And when I was in Vietnam many, many years ago in central Vietnam, I met a man. I won't tell you his name on camera, but he was an incredible man of faith. We loved the church in that part of Vietnam. At that time, it was very hard to visit Christians. This is a long time ago. This is like 25 years ago or something. I met a man and a pastor. And he told me the story of this whole village that had opened to the gospel. And he said he went there and preached Jesus, and they grabbed him and they beat him and they beat him and they beat him, and they broke his nose and they broke his cheeks and they broke his jaw. They broke his face. And it said, we don't ever want to hear about that Jesus again. And he left the village, and it was when he came home, they couldn't recognize him. He was so beaten, and they had to trying to get him healed and set him in place for months and months. And all he talked about through those months of recovery was, I'm going to go back to that village and tell them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all his friends and Christians said, don't do that. They're going to beat you again. Don't do that. He said, no, I believe in a resurrected Jesus who is going to appear to that village. And months later, he walked back to that village. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know it was the same guy they'd beaten up. And as he walked into the town, there was a terrible cry as a mother cried out when she realized her baby had died. This woman comes running out with her now dead baby, crying. My friend went to her and said, could I have the baby? I want to show you the power of my Lord Jesus Christ. And he got the baby and he prayed, and the baby came back to life right there in front of the whole village. The baby was resurrected. Now, this is not the final resurrection, but it's the power of the resurrection. It's the power of the resurrection. We've got to live with the understanding that God could do a miracle. He could do a miracle in my body, my mind, my heart. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I can't guarantee everyone's going to be raised from the dead, or I can't do that, but I can say, hey, let's be like Paul that says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. That whole village, every single person that day heard about Jesus, the crucifixion, the resurrection story, the resurrection power, and the whole village put their faith in Jesus Christ. Every single one, starting with the mother of that now alive baby. What a great story. And when we met this young man, he was so humble. It was so humble. Another said, that's a true story. We know the village. It's true. It's a true story. It really happened. And I want to tell you, I want to be a believer. I want to be a Christian leader that says to you, I want to believe in the power of the resurrection. Next week, we're going to talk about resurrection some more and what it means for you and I. What's going to happen when we die? what's going to happen. We're going to talk about a few more resurrection stories of Jesus and then conclude with what happens when we die. Are you ready for part two of the resurrection?
Hi, thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode was interesting and helpful to you. If it was, you can let us know by rating, reviewing, sharing, and commenting on the episode. That'll help us know what you're enjoying and what topics we should focus on in the future. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to get these episodes as soon as they drop every month. And we'll see you in the next episode of The Rodcast.